The day's markets, understanding the moves and making smarter investment calls.
As always, that's where we kick off the show, with a sense of market movements throughout the day. I'm joined on the line by Director and Portfolio Manager at Rand Swiss, Gary Boyson, to take a look at markets and see what we make of them. Gary, lovely having you on the show as always. Thanks so much for taking the time. A firmer start to the week for the Rand. Not such a great start for equity markets locally and internationally, but the US markets seemingly having a bit of a rebound after being closed for those Independence Day celebrations. What did you make of today's moves?
Yeah, so I think the U.S. market's playing a little bit of catch-up. Many of the U.S. markets are closed on Friday, even though the 4th of July holiday was on Saturday. So, you know, it was fairly positive when we came to work this morning. The Nikkei was down a little bit and managed to close basically flat. But, we had some positivity across Asian markets. That didn't feed through into the JSE. So we had the all-share index down around a third of 1%. And that was led lower by the resource counters, more specifically our gold miners, likes of Goldfields and Hong. Me both talking up more than a 4% decline. On the upside, however, over in China, we saw a strong move higher in Tencent. That drove the process NASPERS pair up over 1%. We had a pretty strong day on the banks as well, with First Rand, Nedbank, Standard Bank, and Absa all nicely positive, and that lifted the financial index 0.8%. Yeah, and the Rand looking very strong, very, very strong against the US dollar. We are currently trading at around 16.22. And I think that's maybe Middle Eastern talks progressing well. Oil price is still trading around $72 a barrel, so no big moves there. Of course, South Africa is an oil importer, so lower Brent crude oil prices improve our inflation outlook. That means, good things for the local currency. And I think also just the credibility of the Saab, our new inflation target in place. We spoke on the show last time about how we have high real yields in South Africa, which are very supportive of our currency. So looking good. Currency remains strong, and we'll take it.
Gary, speaking of those inflation and interest rate expectations, I want to take a look at where that puts us now. We know that, as you rightly mentioned, from a Saab perspective, they've been keeping a keen eye on our own inflation numbers. Our latest inflation print, very concerning for them, considering our revised target. But we also see the new Fed chair, Kevin Warsh, coming in and saying in less than these words that he would not be allowed to be a puppet of perhaps the administration that is currently there, and he would continue to fight inflation, echoing the rhetoric left behind and the message left behind by Fed Chair Jerome Powell, in this case, former Fed Chair Jerome Powell. What do we make of what this then does for rate expectations? We had priced in cuts at the start of the year, then the war happened, we priced in hikes. Where do we stand now?
Yeah, it's a good question. So I think the exact phrasing he used is, "I won't be a human sock puppet," because there was a lot of fear that that of course he was an appointee of Donald Trump, and that he would be, I suppose there would be political pressure to lean on him and reduce interest rates even in the face of high inflation. And I think the first meeting made it very clear that he was focused on the one part of the Fed's mandate. So the Fed obviously has the dual mandate of full employment and price stability. And it was really a price stability, speech, first meeting at least. So, looking at the interest rate hike expectations currently, after the weaker non-farm payrolls numbers out last week, we're looking at about a 23% chance that there'll be no change in U.S. interest rates from the December meeting. That was down to around 11% chance after the first FOMC meeting. So, the weak payroll numbers actually feeding into market expectations that, wait a minute, there might be a little bit of relief coming through. That said, I think the base case in the US at the moment is that we'll see 125 basis point hike, so 0.25%. Currently, Fed funds futures pricing that at about a 42% chance. Domestically, we're looking at probably one more rate hike from the South African Reserve Bank, maybe two if you look at the forward rate agreement curve. So, I think interest rates still mildly higher. And yes, this is because inflation figures are printing a little bit higher. Yes, this is because of the Middle East. But I think it's also important to remember that we're looking at headline figures here, and that includes food and fuel, which are incredibly volatile. If we see that oil price remaining low, if we see that the soft commodity prices also come down reasonably, that headline number will fall very quickly. And maybe it's more relevant to be looking at the core inflation numbers at this stage. But we're looking at interest rate hikes, but not anywhere near as aggressively as when we had a more chaotic situation in the Middle East.
Gary, let's stick in the U.S. for a second and take a look at how markets have been performing, particularly equity markets. You mentioned that the U.S. markets are playing a bit of catch-up today. The Nasdaq is up more than 1%, the S&P up 0.5%. But the surprise here is year-to-date, the Russell 2000 has been outperforming the S&P 500.
And when I looked at that, I was also a little bit surprised. So I think the story that we've seen, and certainly the narrative that we've seen, is big is beautiful in the U.S. And it's been all about, you know, the FANG stocks. Then it was the Magnificent Seven. And it's about these, you know, dominant global mega cap tech stocks that have really driven most of the performance. And I remember, you know, even last year, I think on this show and many presentations, we were just highlighting the disconnect between the equally weighted S&P 500 and the market cap weighted one, whichever one watches, and just showing how the market cap weighted index has really just taken off compared to the equally weighted index. We are starting to see that unwind, and I think that narrative has taken hold over probably the last month or so, as a lot of people look at these Mag 7 stocks. They look at the, they're delivering great earnings, don't get me wrong, but they're also starting to be a little bit more cognizant of the valuations and saying these stocks really are priced for perfection. And because of that, what we've seen is a moderation. This isn't a bubble popping and a total collapse, but it's a little bit of a deflation, a little bit of sector rotation. People starting to look for value in other segments of the market. We've seen, the likes of consumer staples doing a lot better, and of course Russell 2000, which looks at the smaller cap sector of the U.S. market. I mean, that 22% up year to date compared to the S&P 500 up 10%. You can see that there is a rotation, that people are cognizant, and certainly market participants are cognizant of these extended valuations, and they're starting to potentially just diversify a little bit.
Speaking of those rotations, it comes to mind the thoughts around one Michael Burry, and I want to take a look at that before I let you go, Gary, because he seems to be shorting Micron at the moment, and we're looking at markets where companies are becoming all the more attractive for investors, especially in this AI trade. I suppose if we are looking at moderation, sector rotation, and a bubble not bursting just yet, you probably need the patience of a Michael Burry if you are shorting anything.
So I think Michael Burry always makes headline because of, obviously, he was made famous, he saw an asset management and, the movie The Big Short, and everyone watched that, and every time he places a position now, it's something that everyone follows. So yes, he has picked up a short position in Micron, which is obviously the memory maker, specifically focused on high bandwidth memory, which is absolutely critical in the AI supply chain. And I mean, he's been shorting above $1,000 a share. We'll see how it works out for him. I think the case around it, I mean, it's one of those things that you look at semiconductors, in general, they are a very, very cyclical industry, and they tend to have high fixed costs in their businesses. They have some spare capacity, but when their capacity is used up, they are wildly profitable. So if the demand is there, then they become wildly profitable. And we see the kind of 10-bagger returns that we've seen from Micron. I think Micron up at almost 600% year to date. So you see fantastic returns from stocks like this. And I think there's a lot of interest around these, specifically the memory producers, and specifically the high bandwidth memory, which is, because you only really have three producers, which is going to be Micron, Samsung, and SK Hynix. SK Hynix now coming to the NASDAQ for a dual listing this Friday. And that also, I think, maybe just rattling, rattling a few investors saying, wait a minute, we've got some big listings coming up now. Why are these companies raising capital if they're so wildly profitable? SK Hynix, for example, saying that there's just so much demand for this high bandwidth memory, that this is a super cycle, that AI has really changed the game. This isn't the usual cyclicality they see from their customers, and really trying to expand their production. I mean, they say they're going to be raising, about $28 to $29 billion, and saying that this is really, they're going to be buying, more lithography, so extreme ultraviolet scanners from ASML, and they're just trying to increase their chip fabrication capacity. Now, obviously, in a cyclical industry, that should be ringing alarm bells, saying, wait a minute, we're building up this capacity. If there's a small pullback in demand here, suddenly you're going to see earnings drop off a cliff. And I think that is what Michael Burry is perhaps preempting. The problem is if this is a structural change to the market, if this data center build out continues and the AI infrastructure spending continues from the hyperscalers, this can still go on for a couple of years, and in which case I think Michael Burry's going to get very hurt.
Well, I suppose it's better late than, or better early than late in this case, if you are patient enough to wait it out, or if you have the balance sheet that Michael Burry has to be able to weather the holding charges across these particular decisions that you're making. We'll see how the markets shape up. We'll see where we go to from here. For now, we'll leave this conversation on that note. Director and Portfolio Manager at RAND Suisse, Gary Boyson, joining us to take a look at markets and some of the sentiment behind them.